This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
George E. Miller once said, "Creating artwork allows your mind to be in a safe place while it contemplates the tougher issues you are dealing with." Kia ora and welcome to Sightlines, your guide to the visual arts in and around Dunedin. I'm Sally McMillan and this show is brought to you on behalf of the Dunedin Public Art Gallery Society. The therapeutic value of art for humans has been known for as long as we have records to prove that. But equally, art, like sport perhaps, tends to be one of those things that most of us have a go at in primary school and decide, on the basis solely of our plasticine dinosaurs and tempera self-portraits, we're either good at art or we're not. And by the time we reach adulthood, we're no longer doing any form of art. Today on Sightlines, we're talking to Paul McClellan-Smith, the Director of Art Centre in Dunedin. Art Centre is a non-profit organisation that runs an art studio for people accessing support for their mental health or addiction. It was founded on the belief that creativity and artistic expression is an essential part of everyone's health and well-being, and that those experiencing mental health challenges have the right to be creative and to realise their creative potential. Paul has been a key player in the Dunedin arts community for several decades, including 14 years as the director of the Dunedin Fringe Festival and as chair of the Midwinter Carnival Board, and he took over as director of Arts Centre 10 years ago. Paul, welcome to Sightlines.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So I've been reading the latest edition of your Art Centre Pānui, or newsletter, and I see that you're celebrating Art Centre's 40th anniversary next year.
Yes, indeed. We're very excited, and it is a big milestone for us. 40 years for any small non-profit is pretty huge. We're very lucky. We've got one of the best spaces we've ever had. We've had about five different locations over the years, and it all dates back to the Cherry Farm Mental Hospital is kind of our birthplace, which just out of Dunedin.
Yes. Yeah. I think a lot of people, speaking of your lovely space, will have driven past Art Centre and wondered what's going on in there. But this might be the first opportunity they've had to learn more about it. And they may be surprised that what the centre does goes back those 40 years. What can you tell us about the origins of Art Centre?
Well, as I said, it began in Cherry Farm, and it was really thanks to the superintendent at the time, who was very forward-looking, a woman called Julia Fayed, and she had seen what was called a creative expression unit at Greylands Hospital in Australia, and she thought, oh my God, we need that. And she just saw a good idea and brought it back, took it to her team, and they were all on board. So she appointed a social worker who worked for her at the time, David Cooper, to help get it off the ground. But it was always set up with the knowledge that the hospital would be closing. Deinstitutionalisation was happening across the whole country. And so they set it up as an independent trust. And, you know, they got some seed funding from the Southern District Health Board, or whatever it was called at that time. And no one thought, well, the people at the District Health Board did not think it would last more than a year. And so here we are 40 years later. It's been quite a journey with a lot of different staff, different directors, and many different people, probably thousands going through over many years. We call ourselves a creative space, and we are just one of about 70 around the country. So there is a creative space sector in New Zealand that is doing amazing work every day, really.
And am I correct in thinking that Art Centre in Dunedin is one of only three that are funded by Health New Zealand and by MSD, recognising, I suppose, that your focus is on using creativity to support health recovery?
Yeah, we are very, very fortunate to have that contract support, and it really does ensure we have the resources to really put on a wide range of activities, to have a really good team, and to have that resilience and sustainability. So even with COVID and other things, we can come through that and all sorts of challenges, really. So we do feel very fortunate to have secure funding. I mean, nothing's guaranteed, but it certainly helps.
It's as good as it gets. Mm. So what are the criteria, Paul, for those who want to access Art Centre, and how do they do that?
So we're an adult service, which does mean 17 years and up. So effectively, people can self-refer, And the criteria is that whoever you are, you're receiving some support for a mental health or addiction issue or some sort of well-being type issue, and you need some support around your well-being, your recovery. Basically, we just utilize creativity to support that well-being journey. And there's a lot of different parts to it because it's not just about the creativity, it's about the community that we create. And that sense of community and belonging is really important. If you're unwell, you might feel really isolated and your world shrinks. So it is a really important community in itself, Art Centre. And we're open 5 days a week. And people normally, they just start out by us showing them around all the opportunities that are available to them. And then we support them to develop a plan based on what they're interested in. We just want to support them in their journey. But it can be even hard just starting. If, like you say, people have got out of the habit. They don't feel confident anymore. So it's a real skill to support someone through that.
Yes. Mm. And I think you've said that you, when we spoke earlier, that you have about 35 people a day on average. So it's a really significant number of people per day. Can people, they can self-refer, but they can also get a referral from a healthcare provider. Of all the people that you have who have gone through that process and are now attending, how many of them are repeat attendees?
Well, it does come and go. I mean, we have one person who's been there 28 years and he's got a photographic memory and he can remember, he reminds us all the time of how long he's been and he's very proud of it, which is great. But we want to have an easy, accessible service where it's easy to get in and easy to leave as well. And people's wellness goes up and down, right? So it's quite reassuring for people to know that once they've come once, they can always come back. Even if they get well, they might go through a difficult patch, they can always come back. So it is a bit of a safety net in that sense. There's always new people coming through and we're showing new people around every day. And that's really important to me that we're reaching new people.
So you referred earlier to, briefly, to some of the activities and the wide range of activities that Art Centre offers. When we refer to art, it really covers quite a large range of activities. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we cover arts and crafts. So some people might come in and do knitting, crochet, embroidery. But we also do painting, printmaking, jewellery. We've got a pottery studio. We've got a music studio. And we have a really active creative writing group. Our team, we've got a team of artists who are staff who bring all sorts of skills. And one is a glass artist. We've got musicians. And it's a real breadth of activities. A slight focus on the visual arts, really. But it is quite diverse. And you know, that's just gives us so many options. Yes. In terms of, it gives people coming along a lot of options.
It's quite an extraordinary range. How do you staff Art Centre? It must require special people, Paul, to do this special work.
Yeah, it does. And we have a really talented team. And they're basically artists, but they're not just artists. They're people with really amazing empathy, compassion, communication skills. And if they don't already have training in the mental health field, we do provide that. They have to have the right temperament to work at Art Centre. Not every artist, you know, they can be the best artist in the world. It doesn't mean that they're going to be able to support someone else to be creative.
Yeah.
And it is a focus on the creative process, not on the outcome. It's getting into a real zen state, I suppose, a flow state, they call it these days, and not worrying about mistakes. In fact, celebrating the mistakes. We have a great team here, but we also have a team regionally. So we have had an outreach program for a long time in North Otago, South Otago and Central Otago.
If you've just tuned in, I'm here with Paul Smith. Stay with us for Snapshot, our rundown of what's on in Dunedin's arts scene, but let's hear more about Art Centre. Paul, you refer to the people who use your service as artists. Tell us about that and about how you and your staff see your artists benefit from what you do with them at Art Centre.
Everyone's an artist. In our view, if you're making art, if you're doing the work, that's enough. You don't need any big certificate or whatever. We have a philosophy where if people come to Art Centre, they need to be doing actively creating and making art. It's not just a drop-in centre or a hangout space. It's an art studio. So that provides a really strong focus for everyone. And it's part of what keeps everything moving forward. There's a sense of safety in everyone having a common purpose there together. And, you know, it can be difficult when people first arrive. They need quite a bit of support to get through some creative challenges. Sometimes people come knowing exactly what they want to do. It is different for everyone, but there's a really amazing atmosphere and a lot of support from all the people that come along. It is a very supportive community. It doesn't matter what you're doing, whether it's good or bad. There's no judgment. Everyone just supports each other. It's really important to have that atmosphere and support. And it's very satisfying from my perspective to see people gain confidence, to grow, develop skills, create new relationships with other people, really expands their whole horizon. We do see people that say to us, coming to Arts Centre saved my life. That's very humbling when people say that.
Immensely satisfying too, I imagine. Arts Centre, Paul, it's a communal space. Do you think that has some bearing on its success?
Oh, hugely. I mean, people come because they want to be creative, but they also come because they want to connect with a community. And it's important that we create a safe, welcoming space for people. And without that, the art making can't really happen. So, you know, I think that sense of community is absolutely vital. Creating friendships and connections with others. And it is a peer-supported environment. So that peer support is very natural. It just happens naturally. And in that way, it's very authentic and meaningful. And it's not easy all the time, not easy for the artists because they're going through challenges. They are vulnerable at times. Sometimes they're in crisis and they have nowhere else to turn. And we become their support and we might try and refer them to other services. And we try and connect with a whole range of services in the community so that we don't want to be isolated. Some of those services like Life Matters and others are really valuable. And so if we can point someone in the right direction and support them to get help, then we do. But most of the time, we're a very vibrant and happy space. And there's just all sorts of activities and events going on as well. So there's the individual things, but there's also the group things that we do.
Yes, and we'll talk about those again in a moment. You've talked about the space, and it's a big, wide, open, bright, inviting corner space on the main street. Does that, the physicality of that space, do you think that plays a role in Arts Centre's success as well?
Well, just being on the ground level helps. Like our previous space was up a flight of stairs. And even if you install a chairlift, it's still difficult. It's still a barrier. So yes, we've got a lovely, beautiful, big windows. We've got a little car park. It's one big space. It's not lots of little rooms. And I think that helps too. But even the wall colour can make a difference. We've just changed our wall colour from dark blue to a nice cream light colour. And it's lifted the whole mood of the place. Little things can make a big difference.
And I guess the fact that too, it is where it is and it's so accessible makes it seem more accessible to people who want to come and avail themselves of the service, but perhaps are a little bit reluctant and they'll be put off by anything like a flight of stairs, for example.
It can take people years to get through the door. Just getting through the door can be a real challenge if you've got anxiety, depression, etc., if you're very isolated. So we're always trying to support people to get to Arts Centre and welcome them and just try and make them feel comfortable being there.
And to be part of your community. Yeah. In addition to the work that the artists do at Arts Centre, can you tell us something about other community initiatives that you are involved in?
We get involved in community events. The Fringe Festival is something we take part in. We have exhibitions throughout the year, and that's a great way to connect with the wider arts community. We also provide, we've got a little in-house pop-up gallery. We provide solo exhibitions. So once someone's been for a while, they build up a body of work, and ultimately they develop their own style. And just that is such a big achievement. And so we want to showcase that. And being on the main street, and we could just put out a sign, a sandwich board, and invite the public in. So while selling's not our main focus, we do it because it's part of the art world.
Yeah.
And our artists should have that opportunity as well.
And I think you also run outreach programs. Tell us about those.
So we do a number of them. Just locally, we go up to Wakari Hospital, to their short stay crisis unit, and just try and provide a pathway into Art Centre for people in need. But regionally, we've grown quite a big regional outreach program where we've got two staff in Oamaru, two in Cromwell. We're just recruiting two new staff in Wanaka, and we have someone else down in Balclutha. So the model we've developed there is we have an artist and a peer support worker working together to run these what we call creative wellbeing sessions. We don't have our own space. We use community hubs and facilities. And it's very integrated into the community. And again, it's slightly different from Art Centre, but it's also the same kaupapa about ultimately using the creative process to support wellbeing in a safe and supportive environment. And it works really well. It's been really successful. We've just got a little bit more funding for that. And we're really excited about the development of that next year.
And speaking of kaupapa, I think you also enthusiastically and firmly embody te tiriti in what you do at Art Centre.
Yeah, we do have a strong commitment to trying to bring the treaty and the principles of the treaty into our everyday practice. And we also are actively utilising Te Whare Tapawha as a model of holistic health, just trying to normalise the use of te reo Māori and tikanga and learning how, as a team, we can support that journey. Because it is a journey that I think every organisation is on or should be on. It really adds to our program. It creates cultural safety for Māori, and also it's quite a learning experience for us all. So it's something we're enjoying.
You talked earlier about your artists having exhibitions throughout the year and that really being an integral part of, you know, what artists do. What other examples can you give us of the way in which Art Centre accesses, facilitates, works in with the arts community elsewhere?
Yeah, well, we do have visiting artists that come in. I mean, we've got a wonderfully talented bunch of staff and who are artists, but it's great to have artists come in, and it provides a bit of variety and, you know, quite unique set of skills. So someone like Ron Takawa, who is a textile artist, such a vibrant person, it just brings in a whole new flavour. And those group projects are really good because, you know, people get into their personal, this is what I do. And when you bring someone new in and you do a group project, it pulls people out of their usual way of doing something into something different they might have never done before. It expands their horizon. And it really brings people together. So that's a really fun way of just mixing things up, I guess.
So, as we said at the beginning, next year you have your 40th anniversary, and I'm guessing that you have some celebrations planned. Tell us about those.
Well, we certainly do, and we're beginning the year with what's called a whakawātea, or a cleansing of the space. And when you think about the number of people we work with, the different issues they're facing, and all the years that we've been around, it's nice to just pause and reset and do that with our community. It'll be like a cleansing, but also a blessing of our space. So that feels really nice to do as a community. And in March, we'll be developing a project for the Fringe Festival, which is a sculpture trail. We want to try and connect with other creative spaces and wellbeing spaces around the community. So that's quite a way of physically doing that. And we're going to be filming artist stories so that we can just dig into what it is that works for the artists that come along, what impact coming to Art Centre and being creative has on their life. And so throughout the year, we're building up to an exhibition at the Otago Museum, which will be in September and October and November, which we're really excited about. And that's a chance to tell a story of Art Centre right from the beginning, going back to Cherry Farm, of being a creative space and this network of creative spaces around the country that most people don't even know about. And also the value of creativity in our lives, the effect it has on our well-being and how it brings people together and celebrates who we are. So we're really looking forward to that. And obviously we'll have a big party at the end.
Obviously. Paul, that is a great array of celebrations and ones that are very well deserved after 40 years in the art scene in Dunedin. And I'm sure that listeners who perhaps didn't know very much about Art Centre until today will be able to now go to some of those events, such as the exhibition at Otago Museum. And hopefully they'll also stop by Art Centre as they drive past. Rather than keeping on going, they might now stop and have a look at the exhibitions, the pop-ups that you sometimes have, and enjoy what it is that Art Centre does for the community. Thank you for being on Sightlines today, and we wish you and Art Centre every success.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great just to be able to talk about what we do and share that with the community.
And now here's Ross Curry with the latest on what's happening in the local art scene. This is Snapshot. Ross, what's on at DPAG in February?
Well, all the exhibitions covered in the last episode of Sightlines are still showing over February. However, the wonderful exhibition of the ground floor, Paradise of Imagination, closes on the 7th. I urge you to get to the gallery soon if you have not seen this. Superb works by Marilyn Webb, Kushana Bush, Roger Mortimer and William Morris illustrate how contemporary artists have drawn from medieval times in a range of styles, adaptations and themes.
And Ross, tell us about the hidden treasures that listeners can access on the DPAG website.
Sure. And if you cannot get to the gallery, the DPAG website is well worth exploring. Did you know there are 8,649 records of works from the permanent collection online? And you can explore this collection in your own home in a number of ways. The bird's eye view enables you to choose a piece of art by clicking and enlarging it. If woodblock prints, for example, are your passion, you can quickly access these by using the medium sorting option. Oils on board, oils on canvas, and lithographs are just some of the other mediums you can access. If you're a fan of Colin McCann, you can access his work through the artist's sorting facility. The gallery also offers a reproduction service of many of the works in the collection. But if you want this, you would need to fill in a request form using Adobe Acrobat, which is available free on the Adobe website. There's a cost to this service, and terms and conditions apply. When you're exploring the website, check out how the works were funded. You might be surprised at how many pieces of art have been funded by the Society over the years. A great many.
And speaking of the Society, one of our board members has an exhibition coming up.
That's right. Yes, Society Vice President Linda Cook has an exhibition of her work at a newly opened Port Chalmers gallery called Pieces of Port Chalmers. Her show is called Arresting Matter. So to find this gallery, go left at the bottom of the main street and it's near the fish and chip shop. The show opens on February the 22nd and the gallery is open from Thursday to Sunday from 11 to 4 o'clock.
Check it out. And Ross, what's happening in the dealer galleries currently?
Brett McDowell is taking a well-deserved and needed holiday, but he will start the year, as has been his tradition, on February the 7th with works by the late Martin Thompson. And Gallery De Novo this month has new works from its regular artists, works from Anna Stitchbury, Eliza Glynn, Anna Teofilo and Nick Dempster are included. The late Chris Adams has a show of his mezzotint prints opening at the FE29 Gallery February the 29th. Some of you will have seen his work in past exhibitions, but these prints are landscapes of the Otago Harbour. Chris sadly leaves an impressive artistic legacy with his passing.
And further afield?
Well, if you're heading to Nelson over the break, Society member and Dunedin artist Jethika Crothall has an exhibition, Rods and Poles, at the Atelier Studio Gallery, and this opens on February the 19th.
Thanks, Ross, and thanks to you, our listeners. If you'd like to hear today's show again or listen to previous shows, you can find us on the Otago Access Radio and DPAG Society websites or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to join the Society, you can find a form on our website or join at the Dunedin Public Art Gallery reception. Thanks to contributor Ross Curry and producer and DPAG Society President Jonathan Quayle. Join us again next month for another dive into the visual arts in Dunedin and beyond. I'm Sally McMillan, and you've been listening to Sightlines.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.